Begin the current daf, Masech the Schul and daf Nun Hey. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the questioning that Rava asked on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, and related to the halacha of our Mishnah, that we said that Eluk Sheiris, these are flaws in the animal that are valid and not trephas. If a trachea has a hole, and that the Mishnah says, up until how much? The Mishnah said, up until Ki Isser Italki, until the size of the Italian Isser. So that Rav Nachman said that Ki Isser is Ki Yaisim Mi Ki Isser. When we say that it's like an Isser, that's like more than the Isser, meaning to say that what's valid in the trachea of a hole is only up until an Isser, but the size of an actual Isser itself is like more than that, which would make the animal into a trepha. So that Rabbi said, what we can infer from Rav Nachman's statement, that he holds ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When the Mishnah says that these are kosher, and it says up until how much, up until means not including the thing that it says up until. It's anything that's less than that. And therefore he says that what's actually like the Isser itself is like more than that which is trepha. And that Rav was asking from Mishnayos Masechtas Kelim, which our Gemara continues to quote from, which seemed to indicate, as the simple understanding, that we see that even ad, what's in saying up until, is bichlal, is included in that. As the Mishnah there continues, Tashma, learned in the Mishnah, which is describing regarding Shivrei Kelim, broken pieces, shards of a vessel, that were saying what's considered still a remnant, that would still be considered on some element like a vessel that could be mekabel tumah. So the Mishnah there says, Miloig, a vessel that initially was contain something that was more than the measurement of a leg, for example, two or three leugen or more, then ad sa. Then, if it went from a leg until a sa, so the measurement of its broken pieces would be brevius, with a quarter of a leg, meaning it would be from a leg up until a sa. A sa, that amount of what it originally had held, now that it broke, if it holds at least a brevius of a leg, so that would be considered still a remnant of a vessel to be considered a vessel of mekabel tumah. But one thing says the Gemara is, my love saw kilamata. It sounds like that from a loik up until a saw, that the saw itself is like less than that, meaning is like the measurements of like two or three loigen, and that we see that it's going to be qualified with a revius haloig. So you see ad vi ad b'chlal. Says the Gemara, lo, you know, like we've been saying all along in these questions, saw kilamala. No, if it's actually something that originally had maintained a saw, then it's like more than a saw, which the remnants of those broken pieces, as we're going to shortly quote, is like a half of a loig, not enough with a quarter of a loig. As the Gemara continues asking, Toshima, the Mishnah there says, Misavat Sasayim, if this original kli was something that contained something that from the measurement of a saw or until two saw, so then its remnants has to be at least that it could hold Bechatzi Loig, a half of a leg. And we keep on getting bigger according to what its initial measurement was. But here too, asks the Gemara, my love Sasayim Kilamat, doesn't it sound like that if it is exactly two saw, that's like less than that, which would only have to contain a half a leg, which says Ad Bechal? So the Gemara, Loi, no, Sasayim Kilamala. No, Sos Tusa is like what's more than that, which the remnants of its broken pieces explained in Teres Kain and Masechtas Kelim, that would have to contain a full leg. So therefore the Gemara refuted all the questions Rabbi has and Rav Nachman. No, we could explain all those, although the simple understanding, and as we'll see actually that is the actuality, that it sounds like Adva Abachlal. No, it's actually that what we're saying up until that last thing is actually what's a higher thing. But ask the Gemara, but Vatanya learned the Brice explicitly like the questions of Rabba. Loig is kilamata. When something initially held the measurement of a leg, it's like those which are less than that, which only has to have bichtei sichas katan, as we had quoted this question in the previous daf. Sa kilamata, when the sabatila sa is like less than that, only has to contain the revisa leg. Sasaim kilamata, if originally had contained two sa, is like those which are less than two sa, and it only has to contain a half a leg, not a full leg. So you see clearly, not like Rav Nachman, you see when we say in those Mishnayos, until it includes those things, not like Rav Nachman that says, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. So that answers the Gemara, that actually, no, hasam l'chumra. In those cases that you're quoting from the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, the reason why we're saying over there, ad v'ad b'chlal, is because that would be a stringency. Why is that a stringency? Because we'd be saying that the tumah for the broken shards would even be with a smaller measurement. In contrast, Allah of Rav Nachman, when he said that the shiurim, the measurements of the Rabbanim, when it's regarding something that's a seller or an iser, if you would say over there, ad vi ad b'chlal, that would actually be a leniency to validate it. And that Rav Nachman is telling you, whenever the rabbis say up until, you go stringently. And if ad v'ad b'chlal would be a leniency, that's what Rav Nachman would say. No, you say ad v'loy ad b'chlal. So therefore in the context of the halacha of our Mishnah that we say up until how much is it kosher, that's only up until the sellah, not including, to the Isser, not including the Isser Talki. And in contrast, over here in the Mishnah is the Masechet Hashem that you're asking from. Ad v'ad b'chlal is a stringency, so then we do say ad v'ad b'chlal. So it's not really, do you say ad v'ad b'chlal or not? It depends in the context. It would be a stringency or not. Because the Amr b'vo Amr b'yechanan, he says, Kol shiur chachamim lahachmer, regarding all the measurements of the sages, we go stringently. So if the exacting would be a stringency, so then like in the case of Nachman, then we evaluate it stringently. If it would being exacting would be a leniency, then we actually evaluate it in a larger context, what's called seichik, which is a more expanded interpretation, and then would say that it's only more than that, but the exact would actually be, like in these Mishnayos, would be actually in the stringent interpretation of the Vatsasayim, all those different things. That it depends on the context, but it's always going stringently. Chutz mikigrishal ksam, there's one exception regarding the a stain by a woman's garment, which is the size of a bean, which the Mishnah, which the Gemara needed up in Chesma Beis explains that if a woman sees a stain of blood in her garment the size of a bean, then she's going to be considered tameh from nida, and the reason is because we're in doubt if that blood was blood of menstruation. Now, even though there, if you're going to be evaluating it, what's called betzimtzum and exacting, that would be a stringency. Even so, that's what we say that no, there. It's not going to be tummy the size of a gris. It's only going to be tummy if it's more than a gris. But if it's exactly the size of a bean, we'd actually suspend and say that we're going to assume that it's actually the blood of a louse, some type of a bug. And therefore, over there, the halach is going to be lahakal as leniency. Because although there the measurement was said the size of a gris, you need to have a little bit more than a gris, as a brisa teaches over there in Masechtas Nida. And the reason for that is why there it's lenient is because the whole concept of ksum of stains is itself rabbinic, because biblically a woman's only a nida until she sees it emanating from her body, like the pasuk says in Mikutez Vav, dam yezeva bibsari, you have to see it emanating, and therefore that's the one exception. But everywhere else, it's based on the concept if it's a stringency or not, but not if you say adva ad bachlal or not. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, precise reading seems to indicate this idea that this that we're saying, and these Mishnayos Masechtas Kelim, that the loig itself is like that which is less, and the saw is like that which is less, meaning that we're saying adva abachlal, it's not because you say adva abachlal to refute Rav Nachman. It's only because there it's a stringency, and not that we would always say adva abachlal, even that it's a leniency. Why is it precise like that? Because the Ktani Allah Dehi, because we learned the Brisa on that halacha, the Mishnah, that told us that a rope that comes out from the bed, an area of 5 tfachim and more than that, which we had quoted in the previous daf in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that then that rope is going to be tummy, because it has utility. So we said that, but when it says up until 5, it's going to be tahar. So we're saying that v'loy ad b'chlal, that it's not going to be included in that halacha of less than 5 tfachim. Because to the contrary, chamisha kilamala, when it's actually 5 tfachim, it's going to be like more than 5 tfachim, and it's going to be a kabbal tumma. However, asara kilamata, when it's 10 tfachim, it's less, it's like those which are less than 10 tfachim. Because this that says up until 10, ad asara it's tameh, well, we see that the 10 tfachim itself is tameh, and therefore we see that there you are saying ad v'ad b'chlal. So obviously, what is it? When you say up until 5 tfachim is tar, the 5 tfachim is not included. That's going to be like more than that. When you say up until 10 tfachim is tamay, you say, yeah, 10 tfachim is like less than that, which it is tamay. So do you say adva ad bachlal or do you say not? Where here it seems to be contradictory inferences. Rather, it's like Rav Nachman. You go based on the stringency, which is, if when you say up until 5 tfachim, that would be a leniency, then you don't say bachlal. And when you say until 10 fachim, that 10 fachim would be a stringency if it's included, then you say adva b'chlal, and therefore that's like our resolution for Rav Nachman, where it doesn't refute him. Yes, he says that ad ki'isr, ad ki'sela, they're not going to be included, is because that would be as a leniency, for here that would be kosher, or that in the context of sela wouldn't be a treifa. And again, like we said, regarding the measurements of the sages, it doesn't depend on adva b'chlal or not, it rather goes if it's a stringency or not. Now the Gemara continues, explained the halacha of our Mishnah, said, Nitel hatchol, continuing on the theme of our Mishnah regarding Elu Kesheris, if the spleen was totally taken away, the animal is still kosher. Now, however, Amar Rav Avir Mishmei de Rava, he says, Loitron Elu Nitel, this halacha was only said if the spleen was taken away. Avav Nikiv, Trefa. But if there's a punctured hole in the spleen, that actually would make the animal into a Trefa. Now, however, Masav Rabbi Yisi Bar Oven, Vitei Mesamsi was Rabbi Yisi Bar Zvida from a Mishnah later on, Daf Samachesim and Aleph. The Mishnah says as follows, Chaytech Me'uber Shebe Me'eha. If someone cut the fetus in the womb of the animal, meaning he didn't take the fetus out. It's still in the womb. But he cut up the fetus. Mutter, that limb which was cut off is permitted, ba'achila, to be eaten, because it gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother, like the halacha is with a regular fetus when it's in the mother's womb. And the reason for this halacha is explained later on, the Samach Tesem Alf, from a pasuk called behema toichlu, whatever is in the animal one could eat, even this cut up piece of the fetus. However, continues the Mishnah, min hatcholo min hakoloyes. But if let's say he cut up from the spleen or from the kidneys of the animal, if he cut that up, even though those pieces were not taken out from the animal before it was slaughtered, they're asur b'achila. Those pieces are forbidden to be eaten because they were even menachai, they were cut off limbs from an animal when it was still alive. Now, the reason for this differentiation, the Gemara there explains, from the pasuk oisa tachelu, it you should eat, which tells us only if the animal is complete, intact, and not missing anything, then when the animal is whole, then we say kol bebehema tachelu, whatever is in the animal you could eat, to permit something else, which is what the fetus is, in the body of the mother, even when it's cut up. But if the animal itself is lacking, meaning when something that's inside the animal is missing, which is because you cut up from the kidney or from the spleen, then I didn't permit you kol bebehema whatever's inside of it. Now, but either way, what we learn from this halacha is that, however, habehema gufa sharia. What are we saying? That even if the spleen is cut off, so you can't eat the spleen, but it sounds like the animal itself is still kasher. Now, the thing is, when you cut off from the spleen, then there's no less than making a hole, because every hole, the problem is because you're cutting off from the spleen. And yet you still see that it's going to be kasher, not like the halacha of Rava who said the animal is going to be treifa when you make a hole in the spleen. So says the Gemara, now who adin nafil behema namasiri? You're right, the halacha of Rav is still correct, that even if, even the animal itself would be asr, because like Rav's halacha is teaching us, that making a hole or cutting off from the spleen is more severe than taking out the whole spleen. Now the reason for that would be because by making a hole, so the element is still there and it's festering and it's causing pain, and that illness would actually cause the animal to die. When it's totally out, it's out, it's not having that function of the spleen, but it's not causing the irritation and the illness. So the truth is that really the animal, not only the cut off spleen would be asr, but even the whole animal would be asr. But I did determine the ratio, matabachil, it's only because the first half of that Mishnah said, regarding the piece itself, regarding that of the fetus, that it's permitted to be eaten, because that we have to tell you, chiddush, to tell you that's not considered eben menachai, although it was already cut off in the fetus before the animal was slaughtered. So Tananama Sefer Asur B'Achila, that's why the end of the Mishnah also says, regarding the piece itself, that's forbidden to be eaten, but the truth is, it's not just the piece of the spleen, it's actually the whole animal that would be a treifa, the way Rava said. Or Viba, you say, or if you want to give a different answer, that actually Nikiv L'Chodno, that there is a difference between puncturing a hole, which like Rava said, would make the animal forbidden as a treifa, the Nechtach L'Chod, and cutting off a piece, that's, although it's similar, but still different, it's not just puncturing, it's cutting off, that there actually would say that the animal would be permitted, as we're inferring from that Mishnah, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Rava. Now the Mishnah had said, so to nitla kloyes, if the kidneys were taken away, it's also the animal's going to be kasher. Now here too, qualifies Omer Rachash bar Papa Meshmei de Rav, he says, but if let's say loksa b'kolya, let's say the kidney gets diseased, it wasn't taken away, rather like it filled up with pus, then achas, even if it's one kidney and b'shov, would be both kidneys, treifa, then the animal would be a treifa. Now, Ami ben Marava, they said in the West in Eretz Yisrael, but this is only v'hud matoy lekusa, only if the disease of the kidney reached, as a kitintam and beis, lemokim charetz, to the place of the ditches, meaning in the furrows of the kidney, where that's where the sinews are attached over there, that's the middle of the kidneys, only if the disease went into there, then the animal would be a treifa. Now, Behecha Makim Chart, so where's the place of the kidneys that the furrows are there? It's L'chivr de Tusei Masni, it's the white part which is beneath the loins of the animal. That area of the kidneys is the part where, if it gets diseased, would make it into a treif. Now, Amrim Nechunya, he says, Shaltinu L'kula Treifoy de my Rabbi. He says, I asked all those Meir Haras, all those rabbis who are professionals regarding the laws of treifas in Eretz Yisrael. Vamrili, and then told me as follows. Hilchasa karachash bar papa. Halacha is like we just quoted before, rachash bar papa, that if the kidney is diseased, then it's a treifa. But v'les hilchasa karavavira, the halacha does not follow like the prior halacha of Bavira, that if there's a puncture in the spleen, he wanted to say it's a treifa. No, the halacha is it's not going to be a treifa. Now, however, diravavira nami, regarding this halacha of Rabbi Avira, loy man, we didn't say that the halacha is not like him, meaning but rather that it's going to be kasher, ella only if the hole was bekulshe, in the thin part of the spleen. Al-Basumche, but if it was in the thick part of the spleen, which was on the top, then actually there we would agree the treifa, that then the animal would be a treifa. However, the Ishtarbe, but if there remains in the thickness of the wall of the spleen, that is, let's say if a needle goes in and it doesn't go out, but rather there is protecting opposite that needle, ka'ivei din zav, at least the thickness of, like, how much is the thickness of a golden coin, then kasher, then even so, even in the thick part, the animal will still be kasher, even though it has the hole in the spleen. Now, Amin b'marabah, they said in the West, continuing on another halacha from the West, kalapaisel bereya, whatever invalidates by the lung, kasher b'kulya, is valid by the kidney. And shari nekev pas bereya, because we find, as we're discussing right now, that a hole that's punctured invalidates by the lungs, but v'kasher b'kulya, as we're talking about, but it's valid by the kidneys. Now, on that, the Gemara wants to make an inference from that teaching. So that sounds like for kolshken, and for sure, hechad kasher bereya, something that would still be valid by the lungs, that kasher b'kulya, for sure would be valid by the kidneys, because even what's possible by the lungs is kasher by the kidneys. For sure what's kasher by the lungs is kasher by the kidneys. However, maskabla Reb Tanchuma, however, asks on that, the klalahu, is that a general rule? But v'harei mugla, but we have pus, the kasher bereya, we have these pus pimples, these that are filled with pus, that is valid by the lungs, as we had said, enough memchesam and aleph, that when you have these big blisters full with pus, it's valid by the lungs. Yet upasal b'kulya, but it's invalid by the kidneys, as the Gemara said in the beginning of the parak, also on enough memchesam and aleph, that when it's these blisters are filled with pus, it's treifa, and it's only when it's clear liquid that it's kasher, and we had explained that that's talking about by the kidneys. And moreover, v'arimayim zaken, when it's filled with clear water, liquid, the k'sheim hachavacha, that actually by both it's valid, which Rashi says, what's that question, which Tais explains, it's asking that, what we see is that when it's clear liquid, even though it's coming because of disease, it's going to be valid by the kidneys, and we don't compare it and learn out from when it's filled with pus, and therefore you see that essentially you can't compare treifas one to the other. So, and that asking Rav Tanchuma, how could you say that this concept that whatever is going to be kasher over here is going to be kasher over here when you see it's not like that? So Elam Rav Ashi, rather says Rav Ashi that you're right, that don't say, as the Gemara was inferring, kol shekein. Because the truth is, you could have situations, even though that what we said is possible by the lungs is kasher by the kidneys, you could have situations that kasher by the lungs and actually possible by the kidneys. And the reason for this is, could treifas come adamis lahadodi, you're comparing different contexts and halachas of treifas to each other? We don't say by treifas, oh, that this is comparable to this, because you could have a limb which, for this one, the illness is difficult, and for this one, the illness is not difficult. And we find this kasher yechaytcha mikan, because you find that you could cut an animal over here, let's say by the pipes or by the tzimis hagidin, and umeisa, the animal is going to die. Yet chaytcha mikan, we could cut the animal somewhere else, like the whole shoulder, for chaysin, it'll survive. So you can't compare and say, oh, if it gets cut, it's this or that, because it depends on where, it depends on the context, and therefore we can't compare it. You're right. We could say whatever is possible by the reya is kasher by the kulya, but yet still we could have what's kasher by the reya is going to be possible by the kulya. Now, just to qualify what we mentioned, umayim zak and kisheim, this that we said that by both of them, if it's filled with clear liquid, it's going to be kasher, says Gemara lo'emar and el detzili. We only said that if it's clear liquid, ablakiwi treifa, but if it got murky, then it's going to be treif. And moreover, v'chitzili nami lo'emar and el delesriach. We didn't say that if it's clear liquid, that it's going to be kasher, only if it didn't putrefy. Avasriach treifa, but if it spoiled, then even there it's going to be treifa. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Hakulya Shektina, continuing on the laws of the kidneys, if the kidneys got small by itself because of an illness, so Bedaka Ad Kapoil, so by a small animal, it's okay until it's the size of a bean, and Bagasa Ad Kanova Beinus, and by a large animal, until the size of a medium-sized grape. Now, the Mishnah said, Nitel Lechi Hatachin, if the lower jaw is taken away, the animal is still kosher. Now, Amr Bzeri qualifies as Leishano Ela Sheichai Lichyos. We only learned this halacha if the animal could still survive. I mean, it can't chew itself because its lower jaw is taken away. So we only said it if it could survive at least by pushing and stuffing the animal with food by human intervention. But if, let's say, it can't even survive by shoving food down its mouth, down its throat, then treifa, the animal is going to be a treifa because then it actually cannot survive due to the loss of its mechanism of chewing. Now, the Mishnah said, Nitla im kshe shela, if the womb of the animal is taken away, it's still going to be kasher. Now, Tanu, we learned in the Braisa, hi ha'aim, this terminology of our Mishnah that calls it the aim, he tarfachas, the same terminology of tarfachas that the Gemara says on the next daf on Amud Beis, that har b'tarfachas, like Rabbi by Zefik, and v'hi shalfuchas, the same terminology we had said earlier in the parak of Mechesim and Aleph, they're all referring to the same area, the womb, it just has different terminologies that it uses. Now the Mishnah said, v'charusa b'dei shemayim k'shera. If it became charusa through heavenly intervention, then the animal is going to be kasher. So Tanan Baran Lein, the Braisa elaborates and says, Ezu charusa, what's this thing of charusa that's going to be kasher? So it's kol shed tzamka reishla. It's wherever its lungs shriveled, got hardened up. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. B'dei shemayim k'shera, if it happened through heaven, meaning when they heard the sound of thunder, so it got frightened and its lungs shriveled up, then it's kasher. B'dei adam treifa, but if it happened, if a person scared the animal and then its lungs shriveled up, then it's going to be a treifa because then it doesn't ever get back healthy again. Now, Shimon ben Elazar, he says, af b'dei kolabris, he says also through any creature, not meaning to say like when the lion roars, there also. Now, Ibailu, the following question, Reb Shimon Lazar, his halacha, areshakai ulukuli, is it going on the resha, meaning that also through any other creature, when it happens naturally, not through a human, even if it's not through heaven like thunder, that would also be like b'dei shemayim, and that's going to be leniency, and that it's going to be kasher? Yeah, seifa koy luchum, or is it going on the seifa, when the halacha says that b'dei adam is treifa, he was saying it's not just a person, but even another creature would also make it into a treifa. So says the Gemara Tashamal, let's prove that it's going on the law of the seifa as a stringency. Because the Tanya learned in the Braisa that the Tanakama says charusa b'dei adam treifa. If it shrivels up the lungs because of a human being, then it's going to be treifa. Now that, Reb Shimon Lazar, he says, apidei kolabri is also through any creature, that's just like a human intervention, and therefore it's going to be a treifa. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that Rabbi Baba Chana Abba Ka'azel B'madbar, he was going in the desert, Ashkach Hanu Dichri, he found these rams, the Tzamek Rei, the two, that their lungs had shriveled up. Now Asa Shal B'Midrash, came and asked in the study hall, that how do we know how it shriveled up? B'dei Shemayim it's kasher, b'dei adam it's treif, so how do we know? So Amarli, they said to him, Bekait in the summertime, icy mishichli chivari, bring a vessel that's made out of white earthenware, umalinu mai kariri, and fill it up with cold water, fanchinu meisleis, and put the lungs in for 24 hours, ihadrin baryun, if they become back healthy again, then b'dei shemayim hi ukshera, then obviously it happened by heaven, and therefore it's kasher, v'ilai, but if not treifa, then you know that it happened through a human intervention, that's going to be treif. Now, besisim, in the wintertime, aisi mishichli shechumi, bring either means a black vessel, and the reason for that is because then it doesn't cool it off so much like white ones, or shechimi actually means that out of copper, which is also white out of earthenware, umalinu mai peshuri, and bring lukewarm water, vanchinim eis le'eis, and leave it in there for 24 hours, yihadri barik sher, if it gets back healthy again, then it's kasher, v'iloi treifa, and if not, then you know that it's a treifa. Now the Mishnah said, Hagluda, if the animal is flayed, all the skin is off the animal, then suppose machlekes if it's a treifa or not. Now Tarn Bar Linda Braisa elaborates on this halacha that says, Hagluda, the animal that's flayed, Remeya Machshe says, Kasha v'cham paisan, they say it's invalid. And so too, v'kvahei da lazer safra, v'yechanan ben gudgada ala gluda, shepsula, that they really testified, like the Chachamim, that that's going to make it invalid. And moreover, Omer B'shem Laza, he says, Chaza b'r meir, even a meir retracted to agree that it's going to be treifa. However, in the terminology of Reb Shimon Elazar, from the fact that he said Chaza by the Remei retracted, Mechlal, the inference is to Reb Shimon Elazar that according to him, Palag Remei Bekluda, that initially Remeir did disagree by the animal being flayed, like we have in the Mishnah, and that he held that it's not going to be a treifa. But Vatanya Linda Braisa, it seems to contradict this, because Reb Shimon Elazar, he says Loi Nechleku Remeir veChacham ala Gluda Shapsula. He says clearly Remeir did not disagree with the Chachamim regarding the animal that his old skin was taken off, that he agrees that it's possible. And the Kfar Heid, Reb Isha ben Yishab Yehuda Habasim, who he was called Habasim because he would sell besamim fragrances, he testified Lefnei Reb Akiva Meshum Reb Tarfin, the name of Reb Tarfin, ala Gluda Shapsula, regarding the animal that its skin was taken off, that it's possible. But the imnishtari by kisela, but if it does remain at least the skin, the hide, the size of a sela, which through that amount that's left over, it could then regenerate and come back again the skin, then kasher it's going to be kasher. But one thing you see is Reb Shimon Elazar says that Remeir does not disagree. On that Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, my loy nechalku, what does this last brisa mean when he says Remeir did not disagree? It means loy amad Remeir b'machlokus, it means he did not maintain his position in his dispute. Yeah, originally he did disagree, but then he ultimately retracted, like we said in the first brisa, and he agreed to the Pinchas Chacham that it's going to be a treifa. Now, Amamar, the Braisa that we just quoted, the master had said, Im nishtar b'kisel ekshera, but although we said that if it's flayed, that it's going to be trefa, but if there's the amount of skin as a sela, as that coin as a sela, then it's going to be kasha. And that is the Gemara Hecha. Where does that remaining skin have to be that the animal will regenerate? So there's many different opinions. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. He says, Al panei hashedra kula, along the entire length of the spine. That's where you have to have that skin remaining. Now, Ibayudah, the following question. What did he mean by that? The arich, did he mean on the whole length of the spine, the cotton, and that it's narrow like a strip? And what did he mean when he says in the halach of the Braisa that it's the size of a sela? It means the chimitzar flow, when you'll combine the length of that strip of skin and you'll make it into a round circle, then have a kesela, then it'll be like the size of a sela? Oidimo, maybe no. Berechiv sela has to have the width of a sela, al panei hashedra kula. Along the entire length of the spine, you have to have that entirety, the width of a sela. Not just that you combine the length, it would combine to the size of the circumference of a circle. So says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya, because the parish Reb Neroi, Mishmei Dishmul, he said clearly, Berechiv kesela, panei kol hashedra kula. You have to have the width of a sela along the entire length of the spine, which is that more stringent interpretation. Another interpretation, Rabbi Bechanam, he says, Rashi Prakim, the top of every vertebrae, or the edges of the bones of the thigh or of the hip, all those edges, all those joints, require a remnant of a sela for the animal to regenerate its skin, and then be mala arucha, and that it's not a treif. He says, Mokim tiburai. You need to have by the stomach, the navel area, that over there, it should have skin the size of a sela, that then the animal will regenerate. Now, Bayer Biani Bibishmol, he says, regarding all these different interpretations that they said that those areas have to retain the skin and then regenerate, he says, what's if it's actually the inverse of that? Let's say, Nitl Mokim Ashadu, like according to Shmuel, he says that you have to have the skin on the spine, that will regenerate. Let's say actually to the contrary. Let's say the skin of the spine was taken away, but Vakulikaim, the rest of the skin of the animal, is still intact. Or like, according to the other interpretation of Ablazer, that he said that, let's say actually the area of the navel is taken away. And Vakulikaim, let's say the rest of the skin is intact. Or let's say according to Rabbi Bechana, that he said that you have to have the Rashi Prakam. Let's say Nitlu Rashi Prakam. Let's say actually, no, the opposite. Let's say the joint areas, there the skin is taken away. Vakulikaim, the rest of the skin, the animal is still intact. My, what would Allah be? Does it have to be those things or no? Or those things would be enough to regenerate? Take a look at it. It's not clear actually what the halacha would be in those cases. However, another opinion, Omar Rav, he says actually, kola ar kulay. Says, wherever you have a remnant of skin the size of a sela, the skin will regenerate and it will return the hide as it was initially, and therefore matzal begluda, it will save the animal from being a trefa in the case of being flayed. Chutz mi'or besa pras. He says, there's one exception from the hide of the area of the hooves, which is from the knee and lower down, where that's not considered ur as a skin because that's very soft. That's actually like the flesh itself, not like the skin. That wouldn't be valid in regeneration. But Rabbi Yechonam, he says, not fil ur besa pras. Nami masli. He says, no, even the skin there on the bottom of the feet would also be enough to regenerate and be considered that there's still some skin left the size of a cell. However, as the Gemara brings a narrative of this discussion, Rabbi Asi had asked Rabbi Yechonon this halacha. He says, "Ur beis haprasas, the skin, the hide of the area of the hooves beneath the knee, ma'ar sheyatzel begluda." He says, "If it's the size of a cell over there, will it save the animal from being this flayed animal?" So Amalei Matzal, as recorded before, he says it'll save. However, on that, he asked him. Amalei, he said to him, "L'madetanu Rabbeinu, but our teacher, you taught us the following mishnah: Elu sheirisein kibsarim." These are the areas of the animal that its hide is like its flesh, which that's in the context of saying that it'll have the tumah of like basar of an animal becomes tummy, so too the hide will be like the basar. But one thing we see that whatever areas we're going to be describing in this Mishnah is not like the ur, rather it's like the basar. And we count this, what we're talking about over there, which this is a Mishnah later on, the Kaf Chabez Maralv, it says, ur beis haprasas, the hide of the area of the hooves, that we don't consider that as ur, we consider it as basar, and therefore it's going to be have tumma like basar. So you see, it's not like ur. How could you say that would be considered ur of a sela to regenerate for the ur of the animal? So Amalei, Sir Bichan said to him, al takni teini. Don't bother me from that Mishnah. Shabaloshin Yachar Anishayna Isa, I teach that Mishnah as being taught by an individual Tana. In other words, and we don't hold like that Mishnah, because as we're going to shortly prove, that Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, and however the Chacham disagree with him, because the Tana Kama only says the hide that's beneath the tail is considered like Basar. However, this that we're saying that it's also the Orbesa process, that's like the meat, that's only like a Das Yachad, that's like Reb Shimon, but actually the Chacham, who Reb Yochanan is going like, holds it is like the and therefore that would be enough to regenerate for the Halacha of our Mishnah, that it shouldn't be considered Gluda. And how do we know this? The Tana, like Gluda Braisa. Hashechel Esa Oila. Someone slaughters a carbon oila, lahakter kezayis, so that he would burn an olive size of the animal, mi'ur shaltachas alya, specifically from the hide that's beneath the tail of the animal, chutzlim kaimi. He has a mind when he's slaughtering that animal that he wants it to be burnt, consumed, beyond the space where it's allowed to be consumed. So then, pasul v'im bekaris. So then, like the halacha of what's called machshav is chutzlim kaimi, that animal is invalid, but if one eats it, he's not going to get karis. Chutzlas mani. Let's say he has a mind that it should be consumed beyond its time, where you have a certain time limit for when you could be makir and eat a carbon. Then pigul v'chayim lav karis. That's the unique halacha of pigul. And then there's a liability of karis, where there's halacha by a carbon that when it's slaughtered with the intention of eating from it, or the mizbeach eating from it, which is called haktara, beyond its space, that whoever eats from it, it's possible, but it doesn't get karis. But if let's say it was slaughtered with the intention of it being eaten or sacrificed beyond its time, that's the unique halach of the Torah of Pigel, and if one eats from it, even in its appropriate time, he'll get karis, which as we learned that from Psukim in the second paragraph of Sechet Zvachim, Nefchof Chesem and Alf. Now, specifically, the hide beneath the tail we're including over there, since it's soft, that will be considered not like hide, which is not sacrificed or eaten, but rather like meat, to have this machshava of consuming those pieces. Now, since we're talking about oila, which are totally burned on mizbeach, so the invalidation of machshava is not of human consumption, rather of mizbeach consumption, which is haktara. But one thing we see is that the ur tachas ha'alya, that we consider not like hide, but rather as flesh. Now, that's the Tana Kama, only includes ur tachas ha'alya. However, Eliezer ben Yehuda ish Eivolim, from this village of Eivolim, Amim Shem Reb Yaakov, V'chein Har Yerushim ben Yehuda ish Ikus Amim Shem Reb Shimon, and that's the point Reb Yechon is making, that we're going to see what's included not by the Chacham and Tana Kama, but rather this Urshal Beis HaProses, there's only a Das Yachid who holds it's like the flesh. But we don't hold like that, and therefore it is considered like Ur. It's Reb Shimon who he says, Echad Ur Beis HaProses, he says, no, there's even other things that would be included in this halacha of machshavas chutzas manah and chutzim kaimai, that is like flesh, not like the skin. It even includes the hide of the hooves of the animal. Ve'echad or haroish shel egel arach, and also the skin of the head of a soft calf, which the Gemara over there in Perek Ha'Ever Reitiv says, as long as the animal is still nursing. Ve'echad or shel tachas ha'alya, and also like the Tana Kama said, the hide that's beneath the tail of the animal. And he says, V'chol shemon ha'chacham gabe tumah. And also all those things that the sages say in regards to laws of tumah, which we had mentioned before in Perek Ha'Ever Reitiv, regarding to saying that the hide is like the flesh, where it says, Elush arisein kibsar, and that these are things that, although it's skin, but really we consider it for the laws of tumah like it's flesh, that all these things are going to be included in the machshav of chutz lezman, chusim kaimai, of achila, of aktar, because we consider it like flesh, not like hide, which is the Gemara continues the top of Nunvav Menav. What's that coming to include? That he's saying, even those things, which similarly we already mentioned everything, it's lehevi or beis habayishas, comes to include the skin of the genital area, which in this context means that of a female. But the reason why we're picking the or beis habayishas is because that's the only thing that we're talking about here by an oila that was not included, because in contrast, let's say the hide of the shlil, which is the fetus, that wouldn't be appropriate because we're talking about a carbon oila, and the oila is only by zcharm, and by a male animal you can't have that of the fetus. With that, we're saying that all those things, chutzlim kaimei pasal v'makaris, if you have machshava to have it consumed beyond its space, if someone eats from it, it's pasal, it's invalid, but it's not going to get karis. Chutzlas manei pigal v'makaris, but if he has machshava chutzlas manei, it's going to be pigal, and if someone eats it, it's going to be chayiv karis. Again, but one thing that we see is that it's Reb Shimon, who he's the one that's saying that including those things that we don't consider it, although it's really the hide of the animal, we don't consider it as skin, but rather as the flesh, to be considered whether the context is regarding laws of tumah, which is by basar, or in halacha of pigal, which is by a carbon, as we spoke about in Masechta Zvachim, he includes urbeis process. But the Tana Kama doesn't, which is the chacham. So Reb Yochanan says, we're like the chachamim, not like the das yachid, and therefore don't ask me from that mishnah, which is sound like urbeis process is not hide, but rather flesh. We go like the Chacham who say it is like Ur, and therefore if you have the Ur Kesela, says Rabbi Yechon, the most lenient interpretation, even over there, if you have the sides of a Sela, it will regenerate the Ur of the animal, and therefore it's not going to be considered like a gluda, like a flayed animal, and that's going to be a kosher animal.